Today on Real Radio.
Listen, those of you who are Christians and you are serious about your relationship with Jesus, have you noticed that there's certain family members they don't want you talking when you come to Thanksgiving dinner?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 14 today that deals with what was then a controversial issue of the day, and it seems like not much has changed since then. The issue is speaking in tongues. Controversial? Yes. But as we see in Paul's writings here, the issue really transcends whether or not we're to speak in tongues or in what context. It's ultimately to glorify Almighty God and for our edification, and in that order. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called God-Ordained Priorities.
I would think after all the years that I've been used by the Lord, and I humbly say that the next opportunity for me to be used by God, if it's on the calendar or whatever it might be, or if it's an encounter today, that my body, you know, your body and my body, our bodies often say, I don't want to go. Or I don't want to do that. Or why did I do that? Why did I sign up for that thing? I shouldn't have said yes to that. And you kind of drag your heels in. You're going there with a grumpy attitude, and it's like, oh, man. And then you show up, praise the Lord. Couldn't wait to get here. And your attitude's wrong. But you know how God works? He's so amazing. The moment he starts using you, you can be tired, you can be worn out, or you could be whatever. But when God begins to use you, at the end of him using you, you are so pumped, so energized that you wouldn't have missed what just happened for anything. And yet going into it, your flesh was screaming all the way to the slaughter. Your flesh is crying, and I don't want to do this. And then God uses you, and you're so glad about it. You're so happy about it. Church, you and I need to get over that hump of our flesh saying, don't sign up, don't be available, don't make yourself usable, because you know what? You're tired, you're worn out. The greatest thing ever is to be used by God. The world uses us, and we are raped and wounded and broken at the end of the day. When God uses us, we are pumped up, excited, and ready for more. He's amazing that way. The call upon our lives is clear, what God has given us to do as believers. And Paul is saying, listen, tongues are great in the right context. But he says, look, I'd rather come to you making sense. He says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, prophesying or teaching? These are public, audible gifts of understanding. Even things without life, whether a flute or a harp, even they make a sound. Unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is being piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Verse 9, so likewise you. Unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. God wants our ministry to be clear. Spiritual growth comes to us when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And Paul is saying, be used by God. This makes us look back at verse 2 of this chapter. Look at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says there, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Will you highlight that? That is a wonderful thing. That is a blessed thing. He's also instructing us. When a person speaks in tongues, he's speaking not to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That's a great thing in the context of its delivery and usage. When tongues are used properly, this gift can be a great asset to connecting you and I with God in worship, in praise. Mark this down. Are you guys with me? Mark this down. The gift of tongues is to connect us, assist us in our worship and praise to God. It can be used in a smaller context. The Bible actually teaches in a smaller context, be it a smaller group of gatherers of believers. It can also be used in such a way that a tongue is spoken, an interpretation is given, and it will always be praise, and it will always be worship of God. When tongues is used privately, when no one else is around, we'll see this in our studies in weeks ahead, there's no need for interpreter and there's no need for anyone to be present. It is privately, silently, you alone with God, and it's your speaking forth in the Spirit unto the Lord, and it's a great, great, wonderful form of worship and prayer in a private setting. We'll see this. We'll be experts at this by the time we get through this. When he says these four key things about, I'd rather come to you publicly and deliver these things to you, mark these down in your Bible, circle them. The first of all, the words revelation, apocalypsis. The word means, I'd rather come to you rather than speaking in a tongue. I'd rather come to you making clear or by unveiling, to cause, to appear, or the appearing, to bring or deliver something. The word means to enlighten you or to manifest the truth of God to you. The next word is knowledge. Look at that word. Gnosis in Scripture. It means to know the plan or the mission. Paul says, when I come, I'd rather come and give you the plan for the mission. It is the word that means the science of that which can be studied. What an amazing thing. Look at it again. I'd rather come to you prophesying. This word means, and you know it by now in this study, it means to foretell to you the word of God and an element of foretelling. There'll be a prophetic element in the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. The word also means an inspired or God-controlled person. Paul said, I'd rather come to you publicly like that as well. Fourthly, he said, I'd rather come to you teaching. The word teaching is an instructor in things pertaining to God. A teacher is a discipler. It means that he's a developer. It means that he's a builder regarding spiritual matters. Paul said, I'd rather do that. Why? Because as Christians, our lives need to be clear. Church, before I go on to the next subpoint here to this study, our lives in front of the world, in front of and out in the world, our lives should be a profound declaration of spiritual clarity to people. This world is unclear about everything. Listen, isn't it scary? I tell you what's going on. I tell you, if you haven't been to our Wednesday night studies, you're missing a big deal about what's going on in our culture. But man, I tell you, it's snowballing. Somebody could stand up today and say, the sky is blue, and the world will attack and say, it's blue to you, but not to me. Have you noticed that everything that's going on today, it's all about what you want for your own truth? You can declare what is truth to you. We have arrived in our nation as a people that does whatever's right in our own eyes. Forget about God and forget about what is right. And when the Christian shows up, we are foreigners, my friend, in a strange land. When you and I show up and we speak truth, the world rubs its eyes and scratches its heads and say, what? Have you noticed that? When you stand for what is biblically true and you state it clearly and you live it clearly, that there's no mixed signals. This is part of the revival that God wants to do in your life. Come on, listen. You cannot be a Christian for 55 minutes a week. Didn't Jesus say in Revelation that if that's the case, I will vomit you out of my mouth? That's called being lukewarm. No, listen. We are to be, and the Holy Spirit wants us to be, lights in shining armor before the world. And I'm not saying being rude, ugly, and mean. No, never, never. The truth is to always be spoken in love, but the truth is to never be compromised. And we speak clearly. And when we speak, and when we live in harmony with what we speak, and there's a power to that, the world will have to sit up and take notice. They may not agree, they may not accept, but they have seen, they may never read the Bible, but they've seen a living, breathing example of Christianity. Amen. There's enough Christians right here, right now, to live a godly life out before the Lord in such clarity that the world would be embarrassed at our love for the homeless, our love for the hurting, our love for the community, our love for the kids of our schools. Think of it. And when the church doesn't step into that clarity, that void is filled by darkness. And that's what's happening. The next thing is found in verse 7. God-ordained priorities is this, that we are clear about our mission. Verse 7, even things without life, like a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? Man, we know this. Do we not know this? And he's talking about mission. Look, see these drums? I could get on here and I could beat the tar out of these things and you would say, please stop. For that matter, I could stand here and try to sing and you'd say, Jack, it's time to sit down. I know what to get involved in and I know what to stay out of. You will not see me in the worship group. That is merciful for you. If a guy comes up with a trombone and doesn't play it right, it is going to be the most hideous thing. Hey, for that matter, a violin is amazing. It is torturous in the hands of someone who doesn't know how to play it. And Paul is saying, as believers, when we speak, doesn't the scripture say that our lives to those who are being saved is like an aroma of life? But our lives being lived to those who are perishing, our lives is like an aroma of death. When we speak, there should be life to the hearer. And to those that are rejecting, it's as though we were speaking death. They don't get it. And there's too much hypocrisy in the church today. He said, no, what? What? Huh? What? Yeah. Listen. Every child, every kid, junior, children's ministry, junior high, high school, these kids know the truth about what goes on in our homes. And are we leading our kids to Christ or driving them away from Christ? If the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, there'll be a revival in our lives. And even if our homes have been contradictory to the will of God, your children watching, imagine if God touches you in this service or in this series of teachings and you wake up to the fact, that's right, God wants me energized for him and I'm going to live for God. And your kids see the difference. Oh my goodness, what has been a negative thus far, unclear, with no mission and no call, now becomes a direct purpose of your life. Your kids will be, your husband will be, your wife will be the first one affected by your pursuit of God. And it will be good. It will be good. We have a mission. And that is a tremendous thing. Dr. H.A. Ironside says, someday, regarding this verse, he said, someday we will all sing solo before God. That's scary. It scares me. Now, if you have a great voice, you're saying, right on, that's going to be great. Well, then maybe he won't have you sing. He'll hand you that violin. No, Paul is saying, listen, as a church, we need to be clear and we need to be understood. And that's vitally important. The next thing is usefulness. God ordained priorities for our lives as a usefulness. Verses 8 and 9. He says regarding this trumpet blowing, he says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. This word, look at this, easy to understand. It's only one word in Greek. We had to use three English words. He says in verse 9, understand. That word means when we speak, our words should be well situated. The word means well placed, to slip easily into. The word means effortlessly sliding into place when we speak. This is fun. This gets exciting. I'll tell you the reason why. This word implies, frankly, I think the word demands that when we speak as believers, we speak in such a way that it causes a person to have to make a decision, that there's such a clarity regarding what God is speaking through the believer that the person listening has to come to some sort of a decision. Listen, those of you who are Christians and you are serious about your relationship with Jesus, have you noticed that there's certain family members they don't want you talking when you come to Thanksgiving dinner? Have you noticed that you have certain friends or family members who they don't want you to be with them when it's playtime, when it's goof off time? They don't want you to go with them to the river. They don't want you to go with them to Vegas. You want to know why? Because just the thought of you causes them to feel convicted. Oh, he knows God, and I'm in Vegas, and what happens in Vegas, I want it to stay in Vegas. I don't want them to go with us because it won't stay in Vegas, because if they're there, then it's going to remind me that God is there. And you see what I'm saying? There's a clarity to that, and there's a usefulness. And in the same token, when someone's hurting, when someone is injured, when someone is hit, their lives are taken over by the evils and sin of this world, the usefulness surfaces this way. They call for you. Listen, your family that doesn't want anything to do with you because you're a Christian, don't worry. Something's going to happen in their life, and they will call you. Why? Because the Spirit of God wants to make you useful in the kingdom of God, and he wants to have you be filled and used by the Holy Spirit. And when you speak, we are to speak words that are easy to slip into. That is, the words go easily into the hearer's mind. Somebody asked J. Vernon McGee years ago, many of you have probably read this. They would say, "Mr. McGee, your sermons are too simple." A woman came up, I read him yesterday, a woman came up to him at Church of the Open Door in L.A. when he was the pastor there, and a woman came up and said, "Mr. McGee, even my son, my nine-year-old son," she says, "even my nine-year-old son can get stuff out of your messages. You're so basic." And she said that, you could tell that she said that to turn the knife a little bit, to dig into him. And he said, "Ma'am," listen to this, he said, "Ma'am, you just gave me the greatest compliment." Because, listen, he said, "Jesus said, feed my sheep, not my giraffes." Isn't that a great line? No, Jesus says, feed my sheep. When you witness, when you talk to people, don't go to your friends who don't know Jesus and say, "Would you like to consider the eschatological, theological reasons why?" No, don't do that. And by the way, that's a trap. Speak to them plainly. Paul says that's necessary. The second thing is in verses 10 to 20, and that is God-ordained priorities, is that we understand. Verses 10 to 20. Now, what's interesting in this brief portion of Scripture, six times he mentions the word understand or understanding. He's getting an argument across. Verses 10 to 13, we learn this, that God-ordained priorities is that we understand our work as believers. He says, there are, it may be, verse 10 to 13, so many kinds of tongues in the world, worldly languages, earthly languages, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, that's good, look what he says, let it be for the edification, building up, we studied that a couple weeks ago, of the church that is at large that you seek to excel. Verse 13, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Very simply this, we don't need to belabor it. Regarding the gift of tongues, you and I do not have the priority to say that it is to be exalted above other gifts, or we don't have the priority to say it is no longer a gift. That comes from denominational persuasions created by men. The Bible says it exists. The reason why we push back from it is because of its abuses. And that all comes from the ignorance of Scripture. And we'll know this, as I said earlier. But Paul here clearly says that when we come together, we should be together in such a way in a corporate gathering that when we leave, our edification and our understanding of having been in a church service is increased. You should never, listen, and I have to say this gently because many of you don't know the conversations I have with people after services since we got into 1 Corinthians. I'll just paraphrase a bunch of them into one statement. It's been like this, and it's been great. Pastor, my friend invited me. He told me that you were going to be talking about this. I don't go to this church, but I go to another church. And quite frankly, I've heard more about the gifts and the organizational use of the gifts coming here in a matter of weeks than I have at years in my church. And so I'll be coming back during this portion of Corinthians. Also this, the church that I attend, when the pastor gets up to speak, by the end of the service, we can't tell you what he said. Now, that's a violation of Scripture because your pastor is supposed to be a teacher. You can't be a pastor without having the gift of teaching. You're supposed to be able to leave that service by the Holy Spirit using that man to teach the Word of God. It's a biblical gift. And I said, well, why is it that you leave and you don't know what the pastor said? Because she said people are all across the sanctuary speaking in tongues and carrying on, and you can hardly hear yourself think. Listen, church, that's wrong. That's not biblical. There is to be a work that God would have us to do, and it is to be orderly. The gift of tongues, as I said earlier, should assist you in entering in more fully in a worshipful life and privately in a prayerful life. Savonarola said, when prayer reaches its ultimate, words are impossible. Think of that for a moment. You say, what are you talking about? If we get only this far this morning, this may be good enough. Hear me. Listen. And it'll be more clear in the weeks ahead. Are you guys listening? Yeah. This is like mechanic stuff. This is like going to the doctor stuff. This is good. We need to do this. By the way, you ever take your car to the car repair place? Because that's how I feel right now. I took Lisa's car in this week, and they said that they would do it while I waited. And so I took a couple books, and I'm reading, and I thought, this is a total waste of time. So I'll take some books. What's happening? The car had to be serviced. The car had to be serviced for me to even get home in it. But I redeemed the time because I took some good books, okay? That's what's happening here right now. We need to talk about what I'm going to talk about. It's good service. It's good service for our engine. Regarding it in prayer, I hold a particular view that I've only read few people holding, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying this is how I understand the Scripture. Are you ready? Do I get your attention now? Regarding tongues, I clearly understand that the gift of tongues is to be exercised in a group, and it must always be interpreted or else it should never be spoken. That's what the Scripture says.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at a section of 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul addresses the issue of speaking in tongues and how they are to glorify our Maker and edify the believer. God-ordained priorities. That's the title of this lesson, which is part of a mini-series, and that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you might have heard Pastor Jack say this in the past. He says, if you don't know Scripture, you'll never understand the conflict in the Middle East. It's true. You know, if you and I are left to our own devices without really knowing God's promises to historical figures like Abraham and Joshua, or without knowing the prophecies of Daniel and Zechariah, which are all recorded in Scripture, we might just walk away with an opinion that really is quite opposite of what the Word of God tells us. And so, we're offering a DVD called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. It's a presentation that was recently aired on Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our TV program on hischannel.com. We hope you were able to catch that broadcast, but if you missed it, it's called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. That's the title of this two-part presentation on DVD. Now get this, we're offering it to you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Don't let what's going on in the Middle East confuse you any longer. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And click on the banner right there that says What's Really Happening in the Middle East, realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send a gift of any amount to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, when you call, click, or write, be sure to mention the DVD by name, What's Really Happening in the Middle East. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.